I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio. Sign up today to become a dildo intern at Sexyland.
Welcome back to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha, and we're joined by special guest Gemma, who is back after appearing a couple of weeks ago. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a great guest. So, like, it's rare to have, like, a guest back so quickly, but we need... You're in high demand.
I think, I just happen to be around, so...
No, don't sell yourself like that.
We actually had a few emails. I might have to go back and... That were like, Gemma was great, so... Welcome back.
I love compliments.
Except for that one that was like, fuck Tom, Jim is better. No. None of
that. I think that was me.
Oh. Okay. Welcome to 2019.
How good's footy?
Guys,
it's getting close.
Less than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less than a month. I'm fucking excited. Could you not tell?
No. I mean, like, and also because, like, the end of 2018 was really, really free of football for you as you didn't even bother to show up to recording.
I was busy.
Doing unfootball-related things, which frankly is unacceptable.
No. They were football-related.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't been, like, busy with footy for a while because Geelong didn't show up for the finals. Show up for the whole year.
Yeah, definitely didn't live up to their potential. But then also, he didn't show up to finals. And then when he did, he tried to barrack for the wrong team. Which, look, it's a new year, but I have not forgotten. And I never will forget.
That's true. It's true. Look, even my dad was a little bit sad that I nearly... He was like, Travis Barker, I get everything else. No, Tom. I raised you better than this.
Did he pull you aside and just crack the shits, basically? You tried to convince people, not just in Australia, but all over the world to go for Collingwood.
All right, fucking high horse boy who was very much on the team with me.
I would never
support
Collingwood.
I fucking nearly got you.
No, you didn't.
I nearly did. Nah.
Let's just quick a poll around the room. When it comes to April 25th, who are we going to be barracking for that day? So Essendon v Collingwood. So I'll be bragging for Essendon.
Biggest non-finals game of the year.
Yep. Sean, who will you be following that day?
Essendon.
Yeah. Gemma? Oh, no, don't do this to me.
Oh, no.
Yes, do it.
I really like Collingwood.
No! Get out of here! Vindication!
That's three overwhelming Essendon votes. And Tom?
Probably Essendon, because I'll be with you.
Probably.
Wait, because you'll be with me?
Yeah. I'm a good boy looking out for my mates.
But if I wasn't there?
Are you a Collingwood fan behind closed doors? When you're sitting at home watching on the TV.
No, I'm not. Like, I'm actually not. I can't stand Eddie Maguire. There are a lot of Collingwood players who are like just dickheads. Mm-hmm. But
Dane Beams.
Yes, TC of the year. But
of our lifetime.
But I like Travis Varko a lot. I really like Mason Cox.
How can you not?
He's fucking amazing.
Also, Jaden Stevenson, amazing.
Yeah. I like Mason Cox better. Mason Cox is great because he doesn't understand 90% of Australian sports. Him this year during the cricket has been fantastic. When Tim Payne was caught like singing the Collingwood theme song out on the cricket pitch. No, the stumpmite picked him up whistling, good old Collingwood forever. Anyway, Mason Cox was like, I don't know who you are, Tim Payne. I don't understand the sport you play, but you can come play for Collingwood if you like. I was like, I'm fucking here for this. I love you, Coxie. Oh,
it's big man. Do you also support the fact that he just like goes looking for free kicks all of a sudden?
I mean,
he's a bit of a Ben Brown.
Yeah,
I love
Ben. But he's American.
But I think Geelong are the worst team for looking for free kicks. Ooh. Across the board.
I don't think we are, though.
I think you definitely are.
Ooh. But no, I think statistically we're not.
Free kicks,
you don't
Geelong.
Necessarily get them all, but you look for them all
so
the time.
Not only do you go for them, you're not even good enough actors to get them.
Fuck, I'm so glad I come back to this show. How long have I been going? Forward? Like 5 minutes? Less? Less time? Good. Mm. Great. I've been doing this for the people who respect me. This is good. Oh.
All right. Look. 2018's done and dusted, Tom.
Yes.
Happy to leave it in the past, regardless of how many indiscretions you had.
One.
A big one.
Yeah. I got sucked in by the stripes. Wait. Stripes! Ah!
Eddie Maguire?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why you listen.
But Buckley, Yeah, nah, you're right.
You couldn't see that, well, because this is an audio medium, but there was a big thumbs down from me. Fuck Buckley.
Crimes against football.
You just gave me the finger.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I tried.
All right. Like I said, all right, now all of our 2018 gripes, they're done and dusted, Sean. Yep. Gemma, we have to leave them in the past. Tom, you are forgiven.
Oh, thanks.
Until you fuck up.
So, about 20 minutes into this episode?
Yeah, probably. Guys, I've been thinking, I think I love Collingwood, Tom, in 20 minutes from now.
I'm not going to do that.
You'll have a tattoo.
Yeah, we'll have a tattoo. Just got a Mason Cox's face on my chest. Actually, I've got a tattoo of Mason Cox's dad. That man is a champion.
He was good quality.
He was great. His whole family are fantastic.
So, Tom, is Mason Cox one of your highlights of the year?
He actually is. Do you know what was fucking awesome? That Richmond game.
Yeah.
His third quarter burst. Because he made Rance look like a fucking idiot,
That's
too.
That's my favorite thing about football.
When Rance gets made to look dumb.
Yes.
I also love when Bruce gets excited.
Bruce.
Because he had a lull where Cyril was gone.
Yep.
And he needed something in his life, and Mason Cox filled that hole.
Cyril void. So, guys, before we get into that, and actually, you're going down the right path for today's topic. So, even though I did just say that 2018 is in the past and we forgive you, Tom. Today, we're going
to don't forgive you.
We're going to be reflecting on 2018 and the best moments in the AFL. So, not a lot has happened if we take the break. And we're back from that now. The AFL...
There was a huge announcement, Dusha.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
We're talking about the big announcement, Gus. The announcement of the official AFLX team names, logos, and captains,
yep.
I guess.
Yep.
Is it
yep.
still sponsored by Zupa Dupa?
And we'll be disappointed if it's not. Mm-hmm. Zupa-duper and Acrobats. That's what I need in my footy. Is it still sponsored? Is it a silver footy still? I have no fucking idea. All I know is
it wasn't
team...
a silver footy after the first game last time.
Really?
Because they couldn't see the ball.
They had a silver... Oh, Geelong was in... Geelong and Melbourne and those guys played, I think, in the first...
The first game had it, and then the rest of the games that night changed it, and they didn't use it again.
Fuck, that's very funny. I was paying attention. I remember the best thing about... The first thing of AFLX is when James Aish for Collingwood played well in the first game and they interviewed him afterwards. And they're like, oh, you're pretty good at AFLX, you know, trying to do the thing that the media were there to do, which was to talk it up. And Aish, you could tell, is young enough that he hasn't had a lot of media training, but also looked terrified that he was going to have to play AFLX forever and was like, immediately went, oh, no, I wouldn't want to play this all the time. And then realized... His knee-jerk reaction was not what they were after, and was like, "Oh, but it's fun, and you know, it was good, but you know, like I do for the longer one." His voice just kept getting higher. I felt so bad for the guy. It was very good though.
So, speaking about feeling bad for the guy, I feel bad for anyone of these four captains who have been placed in the worst sporting names maybe in the history of sport. So we've got Patrick Dangerfield, who will be captaining the Bolts.
Because, so each name is named after like something that player embodies, apparently. So Bolt is because he's quick, but like...
Nat Fyfe will be captaining the Flyers.
Do you reckon they let him come up with their own names?
No. Jack Riewoldt will be captaining the Rampage. And this is the one that makes me so uncomfortable and is so bad. Eddie Betts will be captaining the Deadlies.
Yep.
This is no good. This is embarrassing. The AFL needs to look at this and be like, look, we've got this terrible idea that we're throwing so much money into. Let's put the money into our good ideas, AFLW.
So, yes. However, if they just took the money that they're putting into AFLX and didn't put as much money into it and just used the money that they have for other shit and still were like, hey guys, we're going to do a carnival of footy at some point in the summer because fuck cricket. I can get behind that, right? I can get behind AFLX as just like a thing where they have it all. Because I'm all for more footy. If you're going to just give me more footy in a different format, I'm okay with that. It's a bit like when the Big Bash started for the cricket and people were like, what the fuck is this? It's now fucking great to watch. I'd be okay with that if they then funded the AFLW better and actually gave them a full season. I'd be okay with that. But it's the fact that it's like being done dumb. Because I could get behind these dumb teams, maybe.
The Carnival of Footy just reminded me of our Festival of Footy idea, which was inspired by the NRL.
That's the fucking most... Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Did you hear about it from us?
Yeah.
Oh, what a concept. Hey, Gil, do that instead.
That's what AFLX should be.
That's what AFLX should be.
AFLX should just be past players.
Yeah.
No, I would love to play that.
He would.
But I also like the idea of seeing like just like a team that has Dangerfield and, I don't know, Josh Kennedy on it.
Which Josh Kennedy?
Both.
But then when do you do it? Preseason's not the time to do it because...
I think preseason's fine. I think it's just comes down to respecting the fact that there's actually a proper competition happening, that they're not putting enough energy and marketing energy and defense into.
Yeah, well, we can't do a competition where every team plays every team once, but we do have time to do AFLX.
Yeah, this is my issue with AFLX. It's not that it seems stupid. It would seem less stupid if it wasn't taking up money and space that the AFLW probably deserves more.
Yep. If they approach like T20 cricket.
Yeah, especially when the players are getting paid more for one night than the AFLW players get paid for the whole season.
That's a joke. Aren't the captains getting 50 grand each? Yeah.
That's horrific. Insane.
That's nuts. Do you know what, though? That's the only reason they would have agreed to do it, though.
Yeah, 100%. But then how much are they playing? AFL knew that they couldn't get them on board. Because
Fife's not flying all the way from Perth to Marvel fucking Stadium in the preseason to play a ridiculous dumb game unless he can buy another helicopter afterwards.
Yeah. He's going to buy it in Melbourne and fly home.
Yeah, exactly. He fucking loves it.
He needs that fuel money.
That guy should be on The Bachelor, I tell you what. He's good looking, has his own helicopter. I tried a sports star before.
Actually, just speaking of preseason, and this is a nice transition from this garbage idea that I don't even really want to talk about anymore because it makes me upset. So I've actually got a bit of a hot scoop for How Good's Footy. And Tom, it's not going to be something you like. This isn't an attack, though, I promise. So
feels like it is.
Turns out that someone I know met Patrick Dangerfield over the Christmas break. And he's the loveliest guy, super nice. When asked about preseason, he was like, yeah, it's getting harder as I'm getting older. He's pulling up a bit rough, apparently. Now, this could just be general conversation that he was just like, ha ha ha, I'm getting old. Or maybe, look, he might struggle into the season.
To be fair, he has candidly in interviews been like, I'm not getting younger. I need to win a premiership.
So it's up to your discretion, I guess, whether or not this was just small talk of him being a real friendly guy or maybe a cry for help.
Do you know what, though? I'll take the fact that he's like, oh, it's been hard. I'll cop that over, I have a friend who met Patrick Dangerfield and he was a bad bloke, because that would have broken.
No, they met in a fishing shop.
Of course they are. What a hero.
Hey, guys, for Dangerfield to win a premiership, what team do you think he needs to go and play for?
Brisbane, Essendon.
Yeah.
Sydney.
Melbourne.
Why
is Sydney up there when they're in about the same position as Geelong?
Excuse me.
Yes, Gemma?
We don't bring back players in the hope that they'll help solve all our problems.
You have twice.
Not in recent history.
Yeah, we've never done it. We're just trying it out.
Never.
How's it going?
Not
he had a great
well.
Year. Was it Gary Ablett's fault we lost
that
elimination final?
That when a first-year player trumps him, you got problems.
Ooh.
Tim Kelly is exceptionally good.
Mm. Yeah.
Imagine how great he's going to be at West Coast.
Oh, in 2020.
Yeah, when he's
not
literally
won a
premiership. Literally spent 2 years just working to his like best form to then fuck off to a team that just won the premiership.
Guys, what did Geelong plummet so hard that Tim Kelly says, fuck it, I'll play for Freo.
That won't happen. Because at no point will our coach become a big piece of shit like Ross Lyon.
Yeah. Garlic breath.
Yeah, correct.
I've got a quick fix for AFLX.
Mm-hmm.
It happens after the final round, when they have the gap week in between the final round and the first week of finals. And AFLX is, leave it at 4 teams if you want, but it's a combination of the teams that missed finals. It's all their best players.
So Patrick Cripps is going to be a captain.
Yep.
And Patrick Dangerfield will be the other captain.
Dangerfield can captain.
Fuck, I hate you guys so much. Robbie Gray probably
someone
is a captain.
From Collingwood can captain a team. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Zorko.
Yeah, nah, fuck him. He's a shit captain.
probably don't want it.
Charlie Cameron.
Oh, Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can he can fucking captain team. What is it? Deadly.
Yeah, it's.
What is it? Is it Deadly?
Yeah. Yeah.
They keep calling them Magic.
Oh. That's not racist at all.
No, not at all.
Oh, boy.
It's very uncomfortable to read about.
What a problematic.
It's also problematic because, again, and they.
I have no problem with an Indigenous All-Stars team. That's fucking sick.
But don't put the team, because, okay, where they're coming from.
Just call them an Indigenous All-Stars team versus another All-Stars team.
Yeah, but because they've labeled the teams, it's weird because you've got, it makes me uncomfortable because you've got a team where they're like, oh, they're a quick team, a team of great markers, a team of brute strength, and a team of Indigenous players. It's kind of, it feels weirdly like your best asset is the fact you're Indigenous rather than, do you know what I mean? Like, it just has a weird vibe.
Wouldn't it make more sense just to have 4 teams and just, they're just evenly stacked with good players?
But that's not marketable.
How could it, like, why wouldn't it be though? It's just like,
didn't,
hey, here's the best players.
Didn't you see how marketable the logos are?
They look like Power Rangers. It's fucking so, everything about it.
One of them also looked like a set of ovaries. Did you notice that?
The Rampage one?
Yeah.
Now 100% does. Yeah, they were designed by Gills Taylor. That bloody Gumby suit that he's wearing. God.
Oh my god! Do you know what I love is when they launched the logos, they just like the captains just tweeted an image with nothing else, and everyone went, "Oh fuck, we all know what this is."
And like, the captains have to act enthusiastic about it because they're getting paid 50.
Yeah, what's it? Someone was like, "Oh, don't feel to sell it." It's like, yeah, he's getting paid $50,000. He's going to pretend that he fucking loves this thing.
You know what I hope? Not in a bad way, but I hope a lot of injuries happen.
Like minor injuries that just set them back in preseason.
To
a
be
bit.
Like, this wasn't worth it.
Yep.
A lot of general soreness.
Mm.
Yeah. Watch except for the Richmond players, and I hope they get like.
It's like Jack Raygrove does his nay.
Well, they've got Tom Lynch now, the savior of Richmond.
Mm.
Do you know what I cannot wait for them to lose round one because Tom Lynch and Jack Raygrove will get in one another's way and fuck up a running goal that would put them in front with.
I hope that we get a 1-for-1 replay of the Joe Danaher, Josh Green, fuck up between those two.
Oh, no. Fuck.
So for everyone who isn't mentally scarred by this like I am, Joe Danaher took a mark 15 meters out from goal.
Huge mark.
Huge mark. Not directly in front, but 15 meters out, not really that much of an angle. Josh Green ran in, yelled for it. Joe Danaher played on to hand pass it. Did like a dribble hand pass. Josh Green didn't pick it up and we didn't kick a goal. And then the rest of the game was a disgrace, much like that play.
Danaher's barely played since and Josh Green's in football heaven.
Yeah.
Is that your favourite moment of 2018?
No, but we will get to our favourite moments of 2018. So what were some highlights of the year? Like the West Coast winning the grand final, that was huge. That's an obvious one.
Yep.
Do we have any personal favourite moments?
Like the Mason Cox, Alex Rance one was very good.
Yep.
I enjoyed the, it's an obvious one, but the Tui, that Melbourne Geelong game.
Yeah.
No.
Ooh.
Nah, it was a good moment.
It.
We had a liftoff.
I'm sorry, but.
No, it's all right. I'm going to talk about a different one to destroy your soul.
You know, I know that, so I'm getting in early. So the reason that that's a great thing is that whole, that like they were 29 points down and Hawkins kicked like 4 goals in the last quarter. Like there were so many amazing things. The crowd at Geelong got up, and normally they can be pretty quiet.
Yeah.
I was with my dad. We hugged. It was fuck. Oh, I'd had a really shit day too, and then I got to the footy, and like we're playing like shit, and I was like, ah, oh, man. I
love how a lot of your good footy moments are hugged my dad.
I like hugging my dad, okay?
You know you can do that outside of the footy. You can just be like, Dad, no. I love you, and then give him a hug.
He only dishes out hugs when Geelong win after the Zara.
Yeah, we get roast when they win, hugs if it's after the Zara. No, but just everything about that moment too, that, you know, Matthew Scarlett at three-quarter time tells Chris Scott, swing Tui forward, and Tui got the tap on the shoulder, hadn't played forward at all, kicked two goals.
Yeah.
Including two big goals.
Two, yeah, huge goals, including the sealer. Was fucking awesome. It was probably, for my own team, that was probably my favorite game of the year. Outside of my own team, both the showdowns were fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. Both were decided by a goal in the last minute. Josh Jenkins won in the second one, had controversy because did it hit the post?
It did, yeah.
Yeah. Then you had the Josh Jenkins was like, you know, my grandma taught me not to lie. I reckon it hit the post. Ken Hinckley was like, this is fucking bullshit. And then you had the Motlop.
Shut up, Ken.
You know, Mitch McGovern kicks the potential stealing sealer, and then Motlop kicks it. Fuck, there were some amazing after the siren final moment goals, which almost proves the point that game's fine, Gil, fuck off. Yep.
You okay, Tom?
Oh, I just got a lot of feelings.
You know, one of my favorite moments. I can't remember what round it was, but what were Port Adelaide sitting on? I think 11-4, and they were so well placed. And then my moment is like a collect. Like my moment's basically every round thereafter, where Ken Hinckley's status as a good coach went down the toilet. And what a year!
They had some massive year for Port Adelaide. To be fair though,
nah, don't make excuses, Tom. That's Ken's job. Now, my actual real moment outside of Port Adelaide's capitulation, I loved – at first, it was Brisbane were under so much pressure because they were garbage and weren't winning games and they were losing a lot of close ones. And then we had Hawthorn at the Gabba and we fucking killed them by about 10 goals. And it was beautiful. It was great. I don't know if I cried. I can't remember. I probably did.
Did you hug my dad?
Fainted.
I Terrence was around. Yeah, if Terrence was there, fuck, I would have got a good hug. No, it was great. But the one that trumped that probably was when we went to Hawthorn's Fortress in Tasmania a little later in the year and beat them again by 5 goals. And for me, that moment is kind of like the Matrix. At the end of the Matrix, when Neo is in the subway with Agent Smith and he should run like they've done for the whole movie and he doesn't. And Trinity's like, Morpheus, what's he doing? And Morpheus leans in and grins and said, he's beginning to believe. That was Brisbane. Beginning to believe. You should see all the players.
Cam Rayner was going back for like a shot on goal that was like out like ridiculous. And someone in the coach's box goes, Chris Fagan, what's he doing? Because Fagan's like, he's beginning to believe.
Fuck yeah. And we won, I think we won by about 5 goals, and it was just beautiful. Yeah, and it was like, there's a great photo.
I'm pretty sure
I think
won
it was
by
like 5 or 6 goals, I think, that one, in Tassie.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Your average winning margin was like 80 points.
No, we had that period where, so we beat the Hawks by 10 goals, and then we beat, I think, Freo by 10 goals, and then Carlton by 10 goals.
I'm also like, glad you mentioned Freo, because do you know what team started the Port Adelaide spiral?
Was it Freo? It was,
they
beat them
by
like 3 points.
9 points.
9 points. Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Wow.
But seeing the young Brisbane guys beat a good club and start to believe, well, we'll call them good for now. They finished top 4. Don't worry about that.
Only because Buddy didn't play round 23. Just so.
Yep.
And, no, they had- and we lost to them by a kick in both games.
Yeah.
I'm really, and Essendon only just, fuck, Hawthorn finished far higher than they deserved.
Oh, they will not.
Their finals exit proved they finished,
Yeah. Because like that justified where they are. Really.
It's ridiculous that like, I think it was round 21 or 20. Yeah, it must have been round 21. If Essendon had have beaten Hawthorn, there was a chance Hawthorn missed the finals and Essendon snuck in.
Yeah, it was that close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Hawthorn beat us and then won again. And then because of the other results, snuck into the top 4, which was insane.
Mm. It came down to whoever won between Hawthorn and Sydney made the top 4. The other came 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Holy shit.
Brisbane beating Hawthorn.
And
because
Buddy
I think
and Parker didn't play that game. So it was just like, ah, oh, fuck.
Did you only just lose too?
6 points.
Shit. And yeah, Hawthorn beat us by 4 in round
20. Wait. I think I, as a Geelong supporter, needed you to lose. So we stayed in the eight.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? Hawthorn's run to the finals. Thanks a lot to all of us in the room, except Brisbane. You're excused.
Thank you.
Hawthorn beat Essendon by 4 points, beat Geelong by 11 points. Then.
And we were in that game too until Amira kicked that fucking goal.
You're all a disgrace.
Then they beat St. Kilda by 4 points.
Four? Oh, Saints.
And then they beat Sydney by 9 points.
Oh, nine. Six was earlier in the year.
Guys, we did our best to try and stop Hawthorn. We beat them twice. We dented their percentage.
We'll all get them next year. That'll be my favorite moment in 2019 when we all get Hawthorn.
Well, they've ruined their list now, so it's all good.
With Wingard.
With many things that they did.
What, to get rid of Ryan Burton, which is...
That's the most ridiculous thing.
It's a very dumb call by Hawthorn.
One of my two moments is a Hawthorn losing moment.
Oh, perfect. Lay it on us.
Ben Ronk, 7 goals, 10 tackles.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
No, how player, many tackles? 10 tackles.
10 tackles.
Do you have 10 tackles?
Have you all seen my Twitter recently?
Maybe.
No player in the history of the game has ever done that. He did in his third game as a rookie. Yep. He had never played on the MCG before. No Buddy, no Dan Hanabry.
Bruce McAvaney went into space that
night. He forgot about him, and then in the fourth quarter, he's like, oh, wait, this kid exists.
It was insane.
And the fact that his goals weren't like regulation goals, he got Burgoyne for holding the ball. He evaded 2 tackles by Sicily and did some weird shit and got in there for his 6th goal. His 5th one was he took a mark, got legged by Ben McAvoy, got up, and instead of taking the free kick, kept running and kicked a 45-meter goal that was super accurate. But then, yeah.
He loves footy, that kid.
He's so good. And I'm taking credit for this because...
You like, signed him.
Two weeks before he debuted, I was up at the SCG and the Swans and Eiffel were playing a curtain raiser. I was like, this kid's got to play.
Yeah.
Starts 2 weeks later and in his first game against Geelong, where...
Kicked the sealer?
All the young guys played and we had barely any senior players. And then JPK turned it out in the last quarter. Ronk kicked 2 goals and laid 7 tackles that day.
That's huge.
And both those goals were either like
amazing. Yeah, crucial. The Harry Cunningham one over into the goal scorer and he just ran onto it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. It was fucking a good game.
It was amazing. Robbie Fox took that amazing mark.
Who won, whatever. Tom?
Huh?
Who won?
We won at our home ground. They won at their home ground.
Oh, okay. No, other way around.
That was the joke.
Oh. I've been on the show for a while, guys, and I was thinking sad thoughts about the time my team cooked it.
That's right. You've got Gary Rowan now, so he's going to learn what it's like to lose down there.
And you got Dan Menzel, and he's going to learn what it's like to lose in Sydney.
Well, he probably won't play, so it doesn't matter.
Probably do his knee, to be fair.
No, he's already got done his groin or something. He's already hurt himself.
Yeah, no, his groin was cooked when he left. So yeah. His groin was so bad that he could barely walk during the week, and he changed his kicking action towards the end of the year.
It's because you guys injected him wrongly. It's not his fault.
Geelong have a history of fucking terrible injury management.
Mm-hmm.
That's why McCarthy's at Brisbane now.
Yeah, it is.
He'll have a chance.
Yeah, probably.
He was going to quit footy.
He was. Yeah.
Disillusioned.
No, I'm all for...
It's probably why Tim Kelly wants to leave.
Mm. I'm all for McCarthy.
I hear Chris Scott doesn't really talk to the young guys.
Yeah, yeah.
No, okay.
Doesn't sit on exit interviews or anything.
Fuck you all. So, there was an interview recently with Scarlett talking about Geelong's approach to the preseason, which actually ties back into Danger talking about how it's been rough.
I got a theory in a minute.
Is that this year, after last... Two years.
Danger said that he was starting his preseason later also, just side note.
Yeah, but not as late as last year.
As you get older, that happens though.
Yeah, yeah, all the players over a certain age start like...
Yeah, I think don't even think Jared McVay's trained yet.
No.
He won't. He's
60 years old.
Dustin Fletcher never trained, just turned up.
Well, I mean, look at
Amazing
Buddy.
Player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great Buddy, player. No preseason, couldn't train during the week.
He trained for 20 minutes all last season.
Did he win?
He didn't win the Coleman.
Almost won the Coleman?
Almost won the Coleman.
Fucking hell. He's insane. Anyway, though, they've changed their off-season preparation where they're doing less sports sciencey stuff and just going back to, like, basics. And Chris Scott has said he has worked to be more involved with the younger players. And Scarlett has said he's noticed a change in Chris Scott.
Oh.
So, guys, he's got a plan B.
How
and
long
it's...
has Chris Scott been there? 7 years?
2011?
Yep. So, hey. Yeah.
Well, not doing anything for 10 years worked pretty well for Mick Malthouse, so... Maybe Chris Scott could adapt.
You know who we're hearing a lot of out of Geelong?
What?
Matty Scarlett.
Yeah.
You know what my theory is?
Should be the coach, yes.
Sleeper agent. Wants the top job.
Oh.
Fucking love him. I would back that 100%. If there was going to be a coup in Geelong, I'm Team Scarlett all the way.
Too bad you just signed Chris Scott on for an extension.
Yeah, but if he like falls in the Barwon River.
Can I?
Oh, I've got a theory.
What? He's going to fall in the Barwon River?
A theory. A prediction. A prophet call, if
yes,
you will.
Yes.
The first of the year.
Yep.
It's long tank this year.
Fuck.
It's going to be a bad year. They go, shit, we've got Chris Scott for another 4 years. Oh,
the
what are we-
pause before you said that, it was like your brain just caught fire for a second. You're like, overwhelmed.
They're like, what are we going to do? Frio, also, terrible. Ross the Boss gets in the bin. Chris Scott has coached at Frio before. He goes back to Frio. Matty Scarlett coaches Geelong.
It's a double team.
Yeah.
Matty Scarlett, Corey Enright work together. Love it.
Yep.
I'm considering becoming a police officer solely so I can arrest Ross Lyon myself.
For crimes against football?
Crimes just against everything.
Can I make Tom sad again?
Absolutely.
With my second moment for 2018?
Yes.
The Melbourne Geelong final. I was at that game.
Killed. Same. It was a great game to be at.
I nearly fainted. Yeah, from screaming out of happiness.
So,
but sorry, but like, honestly, it was unbelievable.
Oh, it was insane.
And it was just like this like build-up of emotion for all the Melbourne support. I was sitting amongst the Melbourne cheer squad, and the atmosphere was as good as the 05 grand final when I went.
Honestly,
it was, and that's not an exaggeration.
Just wanted to check.
It was fucking insane.
I think it might have been the 05 grand final, but there was a game that you... So basically, the first time we had Gemma on the show, I was setting our levels before we recorded. A bit of behind-the-scenes stuff. And I was like, oh, do you like yell when you're excited? You're like, no, not really. Not since. I think it was the 05 grand final. You're like, I screamed so much that I almost fainted.
No, that was the Melbourne Geelong final.
Oh, so it was just this.
It was this just recently.
Okay, cool. So yeah, that's the second time we hear any story. It's a great story.
I know how you feel.
Retired from yelling because you almost fainted.
Honestly, I did. I had to sit down.
And yes. Like, yes. Yeah, when you stand up and cheer a goal and your body goes, you haven't taken any air in when you did this.
Yeah.
And you see spots and you have to sit down and your legs go tingly.
That's honestly what happened.
What yeah. would you know about standing up?
Guys, the reason I don't stand up is because I have a medical condition called getting too excited-itis.
Are you sure it's the window, not the window shut-itis?
Oh. Welcome to 2019, where we pick on Tom.
This is a rude podcast.
This is a very mean podcast.
Joel Selwood, idiot.
But big idiot.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
We were like, going to kick a goal and get back into the game.
You could see it happening the whole game is that James Harms is getting under his skin, and James Harms gave away a couple of inconsequential free kicks, and then it resulted in that. Turn the game.
And Selwood's the captain, and at that stage, because Melbourne were doing that thing where they just couldn't seal it.
Yeah, like they were just like letting you back in. We got like back every in. Other time.
If Hawkins had kicked that goal, it would have been 9 points the difference in the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah.
And Melbourne would have been like, not again. And Geelong would have been like, yes, again. And then the captain is a dumb fuckhead.
Poor leadership.
Oh, terrible.
Take a vote.
Keep him as captain. He's a great captain. One bad act does not a bad captain make.
He's not that great, though. Anyway, no, but this isn't what I want to talk about. I want to talk about... Melbourne.
Feel very intact.
Melbourne.
Yep.
The team I do not go for. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love
so
Melbourne.
So this is not bias.
It's just hatred for me. It's fine.
The Nathan Jones goal was everything to everyone.
Yep.
Like the fact that he's the one player that started it all. He was the only player in that team to ever play a final for Melbourne before. He's coming towards the end of his career. And then he kicked that huge goal. That was amazing. But then the Mitch Hannon goal was like, unbelievable, and I love Mitch Hannon, we know this, but his calmness to run it down, look for an option, there's no option, and kick it, and just the noise was the loudest I've ever heard the MCG.
It was fucked.
I love Jonesy. He's the opposite of a TC.
He's better than his brother, and I'm sad we don't have him instead of his brother.
Oh, his brother.
Oh, Zach. Old punchy McGillicuddy.
He's a great player. He just doesn't know how to kick the ball well.
Mm. Or not punch people in the back of the head.
Yeah, he's bad. He punches people and makes me sad.
He's a young Mitch Robinson.
But Sydney seemed to just always have one dickhead on the list, but everyone else is fine, and he seems to be the current one.
Yeah.
Who's been your dickhead before him, though?
Barry Hall, famous.
Oh, yeah. No, he was a big dickhead.
Yeah.
Still is.
Not many dickheads in Sydney, though.
No, he did have the no dickheads policy. That was the...
Apparently it wasn't actually a no dickheads policy. It was just like the players would tell people to pull their head in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, good culture.
Like a quiet
which
no dickheads
apparently
policy.
They've tried to do with Zach Jones, but it clearly hasn't worked yet. Yeah. But
Zach Jones, don't be a dickhead. He's like, I'm not. They're like, oh God, this is an uphill battle.
At least James Sisley knows he's a dickhead.
But like... if Zach Jones could kick better, he would be an unbelievable player. But he just can't execute the kick. It's a bit like Jaden Hunt. Can do the run for you, but then he always turns it over.
Mm. We had David Wojcicki back in the day for that. Could run like... was an okay kick, but would... we used to have Jordan Murdoch, and now he's gone to the Gold Coast. On your Jords. Thanks for your service.
Probably a right career move.
Yeah, I think so too.
Probably more likely to win a premiership, is that a douche?
No. Just, I mean, he's going to get paid presumably more and play for a club that performs just as well.
Yeah. He also got delisted, so he didn't have a job at all, so...
This episode has been shit.
Yeah.
Like Geelong.
I'm going to edit this out.
Can I have one more good moment then?
Yep.
Can I have another good moment?
You absolutely can.
Yeah?
You got any left?
You got any? Yes. What's your next good moment?
My next good moment is the first time Asava Radigalia played.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah. And I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. Kicked a goal in the Melbourne game. I think he kicked our first or second goal. Took a huge mark. Chased some tackles. Ran all over the place. Looked cooked at the end of the game. But you looked at him and you went... and you sent me the message where you're like, Tom, that's your future. And I was like, I know. I'm very excited. And then he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
But apparently, all reports, he's flying into the preseason. And I just cannot wait to see him on the park. I
can't wait for him to dominate the league in about 3 or 4 years.
Oh, it's going to be fucking great.
Yeah. When all your other players have retired.
Yeah.
But he's got all the assets to be an Adam Goods, Buddy Franklin type, like a tall, agile, but strong player and good in the air.
He's good below his knees too. All that stuff, yeah. Ball hits the deck, he's just as good. I like him a lot.
He'll be the face of Geelong.
He will be. He was already used in a lot of their promo stuff this year.
Mm.
Like when we had that retro round, they made like retro footy cards. So like,
love it.
Him, Tom Stewart. Fuck Tom. Oh, fuck, I love Tom Stewart.
All Australian in second year. Crazy good.
See, there's some good things there. Dusha and Sean and Gemma a little bit less because you do agree with me about some stuff. So that's okay.
There's a little bit of light.
There's some light. Mate, the window's opening a crack. I've been working on it all summer. Just crowbar in there. Just
trying to get some air in.
Yep.
Just got to remove Gary Ablett from the mix.
Ooh, well, just put him forward.
I just don't think he's all that. We had this conversation last time, though. I don't want to get into it again.
Well, the story is that he's being trained almost exclusively forward.
Really?
So, yeah, a lot more time forward.
Interesting.
Yeah, because he doesn't do anything defensively and you need defense in your midfield.
Yep. Yep. So he'll play forward and then rest in the midfield when Dangerfield goes forward.
Will he miss really clutch goals as well? It'll be good when that happens.
Oh, fuck. Do you know what does my head about that is that 9 times out of 10 he'd kick that.
If Ablett played every game
in
the forward line.
50 goals?
Coleman medal.
Whew. I mean, what you got to kick? You got to kick, 60 goals these days?
Yeah, true.
60, 65.
I like we all like gave you a bit of chance. We're like, oh yeah, Gemma from the distance. Nah, no chance.
I'm sitting really far away from everyone, so I can do that.
Rude.
Nah, you're probably right.
I'm usually right.
Yeah, I mean, Geelong aren't going to kick enough goals for Ablett to win a Coleman, probably.
And Hawkins is going to win the Coleman because they changed the rules, and he's just going to monster.
He's going to get
everyone.
All the free kicks that he plays for earlier.
You're correct. He'll get them
when he's out on the
park. That means Buddy will get a bunch as well.
Buddy will have a huge year because people won't be able to hang off him. And Hawkins will have a huge year because he'll be able to muscle people out of the
Alex
way.
Alex Rance will have to retire because that's his whole game.
Correct.
That's right. He writes books now.
Oh, fuck.
All right. I got two huge moments from 2018. One that I want to talk about and a story that I think flies under the radar a little bit. We focused on it heaps here at How Good's Footy, but since the finals, like Essendon didn't quite make it, it didn't get discussed very much.
Didn't quite make it or didn't make it?
Didn't quite make it.
They were still in the calculations right up till the second last game.
We were up there until we lost to Hawthorn. So 3 rounds out from the finals.
You were, you know, a chance until you lost to Carlton.
We lost to Carlton in round 8.
Yeah, correct. That's when the season was over.
But then we also beat the premiership winning team. Like, Essendon were very hit and miss this year, but then had a very strong finish.
Oh, that's right. You were the only side to beat West Coast at home.
Besides Sydney. Thank you.
And once Sydney got on a roll.
Yeah, you beat them
at
the SCG.
We were the team that stopped their run.
Yeah, because
we
both
beat them first and then at the end of that run.
Didn't quite stop their run, though, because they won a premiership. So.
Oh, I'm happy for them, but we were the team that beat them twice.
Come that, Tom.
I want to talk about a player that the media often overlooked, but here at Haggard's Footy, we never overlooked. He was our number one pick every week, and that's Mitch Brown. The most unlikely successful player in the world. He's like 80.
Yep.
Has the best mustache in the AFL.
What are his two favourite things, Dusha?
Kicking goals and chatting to mums.
Yeah.
He looks like that type of guy. And I love. He also seems genuinely nice. All of his Instagram stuff is very wholesome. It's like he's like too old to be a fuckwit, which is a brave call, but I'm standing by it. He also, like, he had, there was a few times where he kicked some very handy goals for us. He is the most unlikely player to be signed on for another year, but yet after the year he just had, it would be ridiculous not to sign him again.
Is he the first guy they're picking in the 22 every week who isn't Dylan Shield?
He's the first guy we picked in our All-Australian team.
He was. Yeah. He really was.
Yeah.
We made a category specifically for him, so there was no way he would miss out.
Yep.
Oh, man, I love him so much. I'm so excited. Everyone at Essence, like, oh, Dylan Shield, like, our attack, like, Joe Danaher might be back. Don't worry about that. Mitch Brown's coming back for another year, and that's huge news. He loves kicking goals from, like, 60.
Can also play down back.
Yeah, man, he rules.
Came from a good club, that boy.
Yeah, a good club that clearly were happy to see him go.
Yep. He wasn't getting a game in Geelong, though.
Well, that's another thing. Like, he is one of those players that benefited heaps from the fact that Essendon didn't have a team when after the drug scandal.
Yeah.
He's one of the players that...
Well, that's the only reason why he was there.
Yeah, yeah. But like, so he was a top-up player, but because he had to play for basically a whole season, he just like played into form and seems to have stayed in form.
Mm. Yeah. And like I said, I don't begrudge him leaving Geelong because he was never going to get a game at Geelong in either the forward line or the back line that we had at the time.
So yeah.
And still have now, probably.
Best fringe player in the AFL. Good call, everyone.
I was rather big.
Signed on
there.
To that part.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single person in the room did. We all nodded in unison. It was beautiful. All right. Now I want to talk about probably my biggest moment of 2018, the biggest redemption story in the country. So this was an off the field redemption as well. Didn't happen on the field. So June 30, 2018. The Freedom Time Music Festival was happening in Coburg. It was the middle of winter. I was off to go have fun with my friends. As I was leaving, was like, it's a bit chilly.
I just figured out. I know what the story is. Yeah, yeah. I also think I know what the redemption is too.
Yeah, it's huge.
Continue.
This is the biggest story of the year, Gemma. This is bigger than Shield being traded. This is bigger than Hogan going home. This is bigger than Dom Sheed, bigger than Mason Cox. And he's pretty tall.
Yeah,
This is the biggest. It's huge.
Just about to pop out the door. It's very cold. Should probably grab a beanie. So I just march back upstairs into my room, grab the only beanie that I have, one that I purchased earlier in the year at the SCG. That's right, the Sydney Swans beanie.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't know. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Well, you know. No, true. Wearing other colours is acceptable.
I was wearing the beanie, went to the music festival, was having a really good time, got dark. There was a Ferris wheel there. Me and my friends decided to get on the Ferris wheel. Get off the Ferris wheel.
What was the point of the Ferris wheel?
No, because I was taken away from the environment.
Okay.
Like, I was put up in the air for a bit. Forgot where I was, what I was doing. Came back down, and a guy was like, "Hey, man, I like your beanie." And I was like, "Thank you." And then he was like, "You had a big win this weekend." And I was like, "Yes, we did." Mistake number one, yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he was like, "It's the wrong colors, though. You should be wearing a red and black beanie." And I was like, "Ha ha, yeah." And then I just let that guy walk off without revealing that I am, in fact, an Essendon supporter.
I feel sick still when you tell that story.
It's horrible. Living that moment, it was like watching... It was like a car crash in slow motion, but I was the car.
And both cars. You were both cars.
Both cars.
And he was the little dog that just got underneath him.
I felt terrible for months. Fast forward to grand final day. West Coast are playing Collingwood in the grand final.
Yep.
We're going. How good would he go to the grand final? We can't be neutral supporters, though. That's just not something that I was comfortable with. We all pick up a West Coast scarf.
Yeah, 100% West Coast all the way.
Shut up.
Other team.
Shut up, Tom.
But you forgave me.
Yeah. Not if you keep reminding me. Not how forgiveness works. Oh. Wink at me again and I will jump across the table and hit you. Wearing a West Coast scarf. West Coast have won the 2018 AFL Grand Final. We've all had about 10 beers, 100 beers maybe, hard to say. Guy walks up to me and he's like, well done on the win. It was a huge win. And I was like, yeah, it was massive. And he was like, so do you brag for West Coast? And I was like, well, actually, I'm not a West Coast supporter. I brag for Essendon, but I didn't want to come to the Grand Final, not brag for anyone. He's like, oh, I'm an Essendon supporter too. And the reveal from both of us at the same time about just coming together because we hate Collingwood, barracking for West Coast, then revealing to each other, then having like a 10-minute conversation about how 2019 is going to be our year, felt good to be honest, and it paid off. I like to think that that is the same guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, was it the same bloke?
Hard to say. Both times I was quite intoxicated, so I'm going to say yes. I feel it was like the ghost of Christmas past and present. They were like, this is what you could be if you're not true to yourself.
No, that was me telling you to go for Collingwood.
Tom.
Shut up, know. Sean. Redemption.
I don't know about this. It's a different circumstance.
Yeah.
It's also, I feel like it's very easy to be standing there in the winner, you know, in the winner's rooms, sinking beers,
yep,
and be like, just here for the day. I'm actually a Bombers man. Whereas that other guy said, you played well, and you went, yes, we did. And then he said
West Coast, but like the same conversation. The conversation started exactly the same.
Is it the same?
The guy didn't reveal either that he was an Essendon supporter. You went first.
Yeah, you went first. It wasn't like he revealed and then you went, oh, should I? Should I? And then, yes, well, I know who I am.
I took a leap of faith with that guy. I knew who I was.
I took a leap of faith with the guy I was talking to.
And you almost got your head kicked in. And he wanted to murder me.
He was a Collingwood supporter, though.
He was, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, loser.
I told people I was from Perth.
Did you?
I said, oh, how'd you get here? I was like, oh, I drove. That's like a 4-day drive. I'm aware. It's a big drive.
Mm.
Left work on Monday, got in your car, just drove to Melbourne.
So a friend of mine who is a West Coast supporter, his mate the last time, so the Hawthorn Grand Final, his mate decided to drive over and then didn't go to the game because he was too tired from driving over.
Oh, shit.
Didn't have a ticket either. Was just going to wing it.
That's ridiculous to drive that far.
Mm.
That's no good.
Yep. Slept in a shitty hotel and drove home again.
That is maybe the worst use of a week.
And his team got fucking destroyed by Hawthorn. So, you know.
Get him on the show.
I don't know his name.
I feel like that is the most heartbroken man in the world.
No. The most heartbroken man in the world was the man at the music festival who you left hanging.
He didn't know, though.
Didn't he?
No.
Didn't he?
It felt like he knew.
Was he like one of those whimsical characters in a Christmas movie? Who knows?
It felt like he knew. It was too perfect.
And when you're at the grand final...
I had told my friends that I was self-conscious about it too, and then they all witnessed that happen, and were just like, what is wrong with you?
I remember you were telling me it made my skin crawl. Has he redeemed himself?
I sit on the fence. Because I have the Melbourne thing, so I can't really say.
Well, no, but that's like...
No, I feel like if I say something, then everyone's going to come after me.
Yeah, but...
Brave.
So do you wear Melbourne colours?
I have Melbourne AFLW stuff. And if I go to a Melbourne game that Sydney's not playing, I'll wear the beanie.
And if someone said, we're going really well, you'd be like, yeah, we are.
I get really intense when someone asks me about football, so I just talk about football.
Mm. If someone said to you, though, you're in your Swans gear because you can't... No, in your Melbourne gear.
Mm.
And someone said... That's the wrong V. It should be white and red. Would you, Joel Dusha, or would you go, yeah, it should be?
Yeah, I'd do. I'd bring it up because I'd want to talk about the Swans.
Goddamn hero.
Yeah.
I just need to reiterate that I was way too far gone because he...
Not too far gone to remember it, though.
No. No, I meant too far gone in the conversation, not my mental state. We were at an I'm an individual, not me brain hurts type of the day.
I feel like you're wearing someone else's colours,
yep,
and someone who goes for that team goes, we're going well, you can get behind that.
Yep,
but if 100%. They go, they're going well, but should be Brisbane, I'd have to be like, well, actually.
I am.
Yeah.
I understand the too far gone in a conversation thing, like slightly different context, but I work on a floor that has a few different companies there. And there's this one guy, and I've been there for 18 months.
Yep.
And there's one guy who thinks my name is Gina, and it's too late to correct him. So I just let him call me Gina now.
So how good's footy featuring Gina?
To be fair though, that's on him, not on you.
It's too far into the conversation for you to like change it because it's too awkward.
Because it's spoken to me about the game. It wasn't just like, hey, you're doing well. Also, it's the wrong colors. It was like, you're doing well. Like, buddy did this. This happened. You won by this much.
Was he mentioning players and you were like, who the fuck is that?
No, because I know the Sydney team.
Yeah, because you love them.
You do like Sydney. Yeah.
Yeah, I love them. Mm. Love them heaps. Love them the second most.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, they're fine, I guess.
Shut up.
Excuse me?
So, yeah, I've done it. Biggest redemption. Unheard of. Massive.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Any predictions for 2019? Actually, I guess with a redemption, something needs to go wrong first.
Yeah.
This could be a redemption from 2018, like Brisbane winning the flag this year, Essendon winning the flag this year.
Geelong winning a final. I'm setting the bar low.
Is that low or too
go
low?
That final being the grand final.
That's right.
We get to the grand final having not won a final. Oh, man. We'll win one. Will I you? Believe, mate.
One what?
I game? Believe. There's a lot of... Mate, oh, please.
Gemma. Do you believe that Geelong will make the eight, honestly? Because I know that you have some strong opinions about the top eight and like how Melbourne is going to be untouchable in 2019.
Melbourne's going to win the flag.
Yep.
Sydney's going to make it,
yep.
Even though no one thinks that they will.
Who are Melbourne beating in the grand final?
They're probably beating a team like Richmond, unfortunately. Mm. I hate Richmond.
That'd be... Fuck, a Melbourne-Richmond grand final would be huge.
Where but it's going to be one of those teams that relies on like... ground pressure, because it's the only type of team that will I think will make it through. Like,
that's
whereas
good.
West Coast were an outside game, but they were so good at it that they made it work. But I think it's going to be very much pressure based.
Where are Essendon finishing?
I don't think Dylan Shield's going to solve all your problems, mate.
Yeah, but I don't think he needs to. I think that we just need to continue from the consistency that we had from the second half of last
year. You were like
year.
Good. You weren't great.
In the second half of the year, we were great. Mm. We were almost. Untouchable.
There was a point there where you think you were statistically the best team after a certain point in the year.
I think Melbourne are going to be hard to touch next year
and
this year. And that's like not coming from someone that really likes them. That's coming from someone that watches a lot of football.
Oh, I think Max Gorn and Jack Viney back for a whole year. Like, because what he.
But even James Harms doing what he did for a whole year instead of half a year. You know, like he finally got into that groove and was really hard to.
They'll get Lever back. Stephen May slots in.
They have so much depth on their list that they're going to start losing players.
Do you know what it starts to look like, though? The perfect opportunity for Melbourne to just
shit the bed.
Cook it.
Melbourne have proven nothing.
But they did that. They cooked it with.
They beat us. We're fucking dumb as shit.
They did that with the West Coast game. They went over and just turned off.
Hmm.
They'll go a step further this year.
Who have you got round one?
They're playing Port.
Yeah, here smash
at
that's
the MCG.
Smash them. You got round two.
I hope you win by 150 points.
Me?
Yeah.
I go for Sydney.
Melbourne, I mean. Yeah. Your second team. Sorry.
Sydney's playing Western Bulldogs in round one.
I hope you win by 150 points.
Thank you. Yeah. They're the worst. But it's good because Melbourne plays the MCG in the afternoon and Sydney plays... Marvel good. In the afternoon, in the good evening, timing. Can do a whole day.
Of you can double up.
It's going to be the best.
All right, where are Geelong finishing?
Eighth. Same as last year.
No higher? Hey, that's right. We're in the finals.
I think they'll make it, but I don't think they'll go far. They rely too much on a couple of players, and if a couple of players don't get their way, they all turn off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Joel Selwood shits the bed because he's a sook. Like, Gary Ablett's the same. I feel like Tom Hawkins can be the same.
Danger's the only guy who gets back up and keeps going.
That's what I mean. Like, I like Geelong as a club because, again, as we said before, the whole like way they dealt with Adam Goods thing and all that sort of stuff, I think they're great. But I think that they have a lot of players that feel very entitled.
To be fair, I will give you that. However, we've also got should have been All-Australian fullback Mark Blitzoffs.
Tom Stewart is amazing, and this is his third year of football.
Where are Brisbane finishing?
10th.
Oh,
that's
a big improvement.
That's generous.
Yeah,
no, I'll give him that.
So Essendon 9th?
5th, obviously.
I also respect your opinion because you said Tom Stewart's the best, so that's fine.
He's amazing. He destroyed us in that final in 2017. If it weren't for him, we would have been in that game. But he just mopped everything up.
He's great.
He's like rampy after rampy. He had the same pathway into footy, became All-Australian pretty soon
Has
after.
A good mo.
Yeah. Plays the same role.
Yep.
Likeable people.
Yep.
Yep.
Good.
He's your version of Rampy. Although ours is a captain now. Wait a couple of years, yours might be.
Holy shit, is he...
Sydney has the co-captains again. I'm so excited about it.
Is it Rampy and...
Rampy, Parker, and JPK.
They got three?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Back to 2005 style. I'm very excited about it.
Trying to think he'll be our captain after Selwood. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Stewart or Blitzer.
Duncan?
Duncan, maybe.
Duncan's yeah. too temperamental.
If he can... I thought he actually had a good year last year.
He's great, but he gets pushed away because of everyone else, and then now Tim Kelly's kind of jumped him. So Duncan kind of gets pushed into this role that he's not suited. It's kind of like Dom Tyson at Melbourne, where he's a very good player, but because of depth, he gets pushed out to a different role, and then he looks bad because he's not playing his role. It's like...
Cam Guthrie's... Being a Geelong supporter who watches Geelong more, I think last year Cam Guthrie became that player. Duncan... That he's playing more on the ball. He's starting centre because the Selwoods are moving around a bit more and Abbott's Duncan playing tackles. Forward. And because Duncan tackles. Whereas Guthrie is a guy who is brilliant forward of the ball and should be playing in the middle, but doesn't. So they play him off half back and he's not quite half back.
It's kind of like Rory Lobb at GWS.
Mm.
He's a forward. He got forced to play as a ruck because of their issues with their list in 2018.
Now Mumford's back. Didn't
want to be... a ruck, so he goes to WA, and it's just like, you wonder why he's leaving. They're forcing him to play a role he doesn't want, and then he gets dropped playing a role that is not his role.
Mm. Oh, shit, they dropped him a couple of times,
twice didn't they dropped him, because he was not a good ruckman. It's like, he's not a ruckman. What do you expect?
Fair enough.
It'd be like if Sydney dropped Dean Towers. Well, he's D-listed now, but if last year Sydney dropped Dean Towers because he wasn't rucking well. It's like... Yeah.
It's like if Sean Grigg got dropped from Richmond because he wasn't rucking well.
Well, it's a slightly different situation because they rely on him as one of their main rucks. It's not like,
stupid.
You know, like Richmond can go to hell.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a good blanket statement for 2019, I feel.
Yeah.
It's like a mantra of how good
we're on Collingwood and Richmond can go to hell 2019.
Yeah.
Adisha.
Wait, we're on what?
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 War on Collingwood.
Oh, war. I thought you said we're on Collingwood. And I was like, I don't
know. War on Collingwood.
Learned his lesson.
I have, for now.
Warren Collingwood, Richmond can go to hell.
Yep.
So can Hawthorn.
Yeah, that's a long list.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Dusha, have we got any emails?
Thomas, I'm glad you asked. We got a few. Because we've taken a bit of a break, our inboxes are filled up a little bit, so I'll just get through as many as I can today, maybe save some for the next week.
So we made a call for overseas listeners to send in some overseas teams.
Yes!
We got a few. So Israel have an AFL team called the Cheetahs. The team logo looks like this. It's pretty basketball-y, but I'll allow it.
Unite the Tall Boys.
No, it's not the Tall Boys. Atlanta Tall Boys is still winning. So that was from Yoav Koa.
Oh, antagonist of the show, Yoav Koa.
And then we had Brandon Clark, who he's from Canada, gotten super into footy the last two seasons.
Good boy.
He loves the Eagles, so very stoked on what just happened.
Joe Arce is from Canada. Mike Pike, you never hear about it.
Yeah, well, he actually said that. He's...
Premiership player, Mike.
There's a... Yeah.
Sorry, I missed
Well, that. I'll start with that part of the email, because there's two things. He also sends us his local football team that he is going to try out for.
Oh! Yes!
Yeah. Edmonton Emus and the Edmonton Wombats. The men's team of the Wombats, women's team of the Emus.
Cool. Nice.
The logo is sick. I'll show it to you in a second. He went up to AFL Canada's Wikipedia page, found two notable Canadian players, Mike Pike.
Great. Wait,
who's the second?
Andrew McGraw. For
yeah,
accident.
His dad's Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't like
Mike Pike, who lived in Canada.
Who scored a try for against France in the Rugby World Cup. That's the other thing everyone knows about him, right?
Wow. Now I do.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And
you, Mike.
Do you want to know one more thing about him before we move on? Just taking up time.
He's gorgeous.
Just one more.
After he first started playing, our favorite person, Brian Taylor, said he's the worst player he's ever seen play the game. And then he ended up a premiership player. So that's nice.
B2.
Wow. And here's a logo. So it's got an interesting color scheme. That's something that we don't really see in AFL. It's blue and orange and white.
It's a little bit AFLW-y.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah, I can get
behind
that.
It's a mix of like old school and like a new color scheme. So yeah, thank you so much to both of you for the emails. And Brandon, good luck with your tryouts. He's also going to be down in September. Hopefully going to make a few footy games. Would be a dream come true if he can make it to the granny and I guess see the Eagles win again, which won't happen because they'll meet a brick wall called
Essendon. Melbourne.
What?
Meet a brick wall called Tim Kelly, who will then crumble and go to them.
Glad you're here, Gemma, because we've got an email that actually addresses you. Email from Jason.
One of Sean's many put onto pen the names?
No, it's a nice email. Don't worry.
Oh. Sean's many pen names.
He's nice to me. I don't know about you.
Hey, all. I was put onto the pod by Gemma when expressing the need for some off-season footy content. He wanted to mention that the Carlton players may have been in the Mafia. The former players from the 80s era were friends with Mafia kids, particularly a group of interstate kids, and stayed with families with strong underworld connections.
Ooh.
So, yeah. Carlton Football Club in the 80s, maybe also the Mafia, which is funny and scary.
Yeah.
I feel like we knew that though, didn't we?
Yeah. We
dabbled in that conspiracy the last episode I did of 2018.
A long time ago.
Yeah. So long ago.
So we spoke about the conspiracy theory that Mick Malthouse got sent to Carlton as a sleeper agent and sink their team.
100%.
Jason has put together an insane list of events that actually means that Daisy Thomas was crucial in the 2018 grand final loss.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Hang on.
Yeah, this is amazing.
So Daisy Thomas, former Collingwood player, due to his trade to Carlton, or signing on as a free agent, has cost Collingwood that game.
He was a triple-double agent.
Yes. So I'll just explain.
This is amazing.
So yeah, Jason has gone into detail about that. So Dale Thomas, Collingwood, signed with Carlton as a free agent. Collingwood received picks 11 in 2013 as a free agency compensation. Collingwood sent picks 11, 31, 49 in the 2013 draft to West Coast in returns for picks 6 and 44. Collingwood drafted Matt Scharenberg and Aaliyah, who was traded to Sydney for Jesse White.
Oh my God. Whoa.
It gets better.
West Coast drafted Dom Sheed, Malcolm...
Oh!
West Coast drafted Dom Sheed with a pick 6. Collingwood played West Coast in the 2018 grand final. Dom Sheed kicked the winning goal.
God.
After Collingwood were in the lead for the entirety of the game.
But there's
And Scharenberg was out of the grand final injured in a loss versus Richmond in round 19 after starting as a key backman for 16 of the 19 games.
So probably would have been playing in the back line to try to intercept
Dom Sheed.
Dom Sheed.
There's another
bit
with the Josh Kennedy thing because of Daisy Thomas going to Carlton, something about the Josh Kennedy trade having an impact on it as well, if there's like a longer version of it too.
Jesus.
It's very funny.
I love that Collingwood trying to bring down Carlton only brought themselves down.
And they did bring down Carlton too, though.
They did, but there was collateral damage. Yeah. It was a premiership. So Sheed basically got to West Coast as a direct result of pick swapping with Collingwood.
Yes. due to a result of Daisy Thomas going to Carlton.
And out of that, West Coast got a premiership and Collingwood got Jesse White.
Who would have one good game and then eight bad ones.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm just glad we got a leer out of that.
Yeah, you won too. My God. And we all won because Collingwood lost.
All right. Now we got an email from Jomo.
Jomo?
J-O-M-O.
Jomo.
Jomo.
That is an amazing name.
Boys, with the football season so far away and the Australian cricket team not good enough to really interest me, I've been left getting into American football, where my mighty Saints are doing so well that I've almost forgotten how bad the AFL season was for us. As the NFL season is wrapping up, I found my way back onto afl.com.au articles to read some of the crap from the off-season training and the like. They posted an article on club membership drives with two main takeaways. The Crows, being the terrible people that they are, have added email list subscribers to the membership tally, so it dwarfs almost everyone else, just building on their reputation.
Sorry, hang on. You look like you knew this.
Yeah.
So, clarify. Adelaide, if you just subscribe to their newsletter, they count you in their membership tally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Gil! It's like when
people sign their pets up.
Well, no, but they're actually paying
That's
for
even
a pet
better,
membership.
Because their pets are actually a member. This is just people subscribing to a mailing list.
Yeah.
And they count that as a membership.
Yep.
I could use Adelaide's Footy Club's free Wi-Fi and probably end up being in Canada as a member.
This is a disgrace.
I'd burn my phone immediately and move to Japan.
What the f... Is Stephen Trigg still running that club?
Probably.
Ah.
It's a gentleman's handshake. You sign up for an email address, and as part of that, you're included. That's bullshit. Do you know what I love too?
If you count as a member, you should get into games though.
Right. I'll show them my newsletter at the fucking...
I'm on your mailing list. Can I go to this showdown?
Just waving an email in the air.
I'm on your membership list.
This is a disgrace.
I'm going to sign my cats up as members. Fucking bring them to the footy.
Fuck, I hate Adelaide.
Well, you're not going to like the rest of this email.
Oh, no.
Additionally, Dane Beams just looks right in a Collingwood jumper. Sorry, Sean.
He does, being a fuckhead.
Well, you've changed your tune.
Yep. 2019. War on Collingwood.
New year, new you.
Yep.
Just wants his friends back.
He's going to have to work hard.
Like Dane Beams.
Which leads me to ask, who else suits a different jumper? I personally find Jake Stringer is similar in that the bomber strip just works for him very well, as the dirty teams seem to match the characters of both of these players. I'm not sorry, Dusha.
Ouch.
Anyway, love the show. Cheers, Jomo. First of all, fuck off, Jomo. Second of all, I agree. Jake Stringer looks great in that strip.
I'm trying to think who looks good in...
Buddy.
Yeah, Buddy.
Oh, yeah, Buddy looks great in the...
Nah, he looks...
Buddy
so
looks
better.
Good in both.
Nah, okay, no one looks good in the Hawthorn jersey. Let's just establish that right now.
No, see, I think the Buddy looks... He looks real thick in the Sydney jersey.
He's got a weird body.
You also realize that he's a lot older and therefore your body changes, right?
No.
What?
My body's been the same since I was 10. I'm a test tube baby.
You're something.
Do you mean fuckwit? Is that what you meant to say?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Buddy.
Yeah. To be fair, Stephen Mayne looks a lot better in a Melbourne jumper than he does in a Gold Coast jumper.
I think anyone would, though.
Jake Lever.
Dylan Scheel looks great in an Essendon jersey.
Nah, I think he looks better in an orange.
I reckon, yeah.
Lachie Neal looks terrific in a Brisbane jumper.
Yeah,
the Brisbane jumper is nice.
Thank you.
Dangerfield.
We got emails saying
good
that
in a Geelong jumper.
We got emails saying that the Brisbane jersey is disgusting, looks like pajamas.
They don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
I like the Brisbane jersey a lot.
Yeah.
The worst one is clearly Gold Coast. Like, by... A mile.
It's gross.
It makes them all look like they're made of plastic, which is an interesting look.
Mm. It'll be interesting to see what Wingard looks like in a Hawthorn jumper.
Bad.
He won't be able to wear long sleeves. Nah, fuck, fair. He'll look like shit.
Actually, Ryan Burton will look great in Port.
He will, because it'll be black. It'll look sleek.
Oh. Like Jack Watts looks good in a Port jersey, even though he can't do anything else in his life.
Play football, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Be respectful to women.
Yeah, true.
They should delist him. But anyway...
I'm trying to think of like any other players that change clubs that probably looked... Oh,
Plugger looked better in a Swans Sydney, jumper than he did in a Saints jumper.
Absolutely.
100%.
I reckon Jesse Hogan looks really good in the Freo strip. The Freo strip is really nice though. Most people look good in it.
It's the only good thing about their team.
They have a good team. They just have a shit coach.
And a terrible club culture and a terrible game plan.
It's improving.
And Peter Bell's there.
But I reckon they're just wanting to destroy the coach. They got a good list. Look at
destroy
their
the coach. Let Brett Kirk take over.
No, he's at Sydney. Don't let him leave.
Wait, didn't he? Did he come back to Sydney?
He went back. Yeah.
There you go. All they need, fix Zach Jones. Make him live with Brett Kirk. He'll Buddha him back to like a normal person.
That's a pretty good call.
I honestly can't think of other jumpers. I'm trying to think of Geelong players who've like swapped jumpers. I haven't seen Gary Rowan in one yet, and I haven't seen Dalhouse in one yet.
I've seen Dalhouse. There's like a really popular picture of him in a Geelong jumper. Right?
Yeah.
Kicking that ball.
He looks alright. He looks interested in the game.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
He fucking would want to be.
Unfortunately, no one else in the Geelong jumpers looks interested.
It's like Harry Taylor's promo thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's just his face.
No, that is his face. He's standing there thinking about the next time he meets Josh Jenkins, hoping he's eaten something fucking weird again so he can give it to him again. He's like, oh, I really hope he eats some of that romaine lettuce that got banned in America. I love giving people lettuce.
He's got that vacant look like, do I have milk in the fridge?
He's apparently just a weird unit, and he just looks like a weird unit. But I love him because he's a nice bloke.
Yeah, you know, good on him.
He used to wear zinc at every game.
Yeah, good. Cares about his skin.
Love it. Middle of winter.
Yeah.
At Eddie had under the roof. The
sun's harsh in Geelong.
It's a routine.
Oh, I love it.
See if I got any more emails to end the show on.
Shane Mumford looks better in a GWS jersey than a Sydney jersey.
Looked good in a Geelong jersey.
Didn't play well at Geelong, though. It's a premiership at Sydney.
I ate a lot of sausages.
A lot of sausages. Was it 11, 13?
18.
18. 18, sorry. Yeah.
It is a shitload.
It's two. Oh,
it's men. Almost the same amount of blank.
Redacted.
Yeah.
All right, and a final email, and this is just a nice way to ease us back into 2019. Just got an email from James, a Swans fan. He just wanted to email us to let us know how much he enjoys listening to the podcast. It's one of the highlights of the week because he lives in New South Wales and there isn't that many AFL fans around. And as a Christmas present to himself, he bought a Howgood's footy t-shirt and he included a photo.
Oh, legend.
What a legend.
With a guitar.
Yeah, it's a guitar. Wasn't sure if it was a bass or guitar. It's a guitar.
Champion.
Isn't a bass a guitar?
Yeah, but they're not the same instrument.
I know that.
The instrument's irrelevant, Tom. He's wearing a Howgood's footy t-shirt.
Do you know
t-shirt.
What isn't irrelevant? James and his t-shirt. Thank you so much, James.
Fuck yeah, James.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you need any more AFL content, just let us know. Tweet us. Yeah. And speaking of tweeting us, Tom, where can people find us if they'd like to email us?
If they'd like to email us?
Yes.
They can find us at... I almost gave out my personal email. They can find us at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com or they can tweet us at howgoodsfooty or individually. I'm at Awkward Treed.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
I'm at Douche13. And Gemma?
GL Bastiani.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
All right. And welcome back. We're back. The hiatus is over. AFL is back in a big way, kind of.
Less than a month.
AFLW is just around the corner, and that's very exciting.
Oh.
Go Lions.
Oh. Go Cats for the first time.
Melbourne.
2019, I won the flag. Just don't even worry about it. Dylan Shiel, you fucking goodness, strive to listen to what anyone else said.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.